Turn to Ephesians 6 tonight. I'm continuing a series that I started some time back. I'll try to catch up you that have not heard some of it. I'm not going to stay long on the review, but I do want to make sure you catch up. And tonight I'll launch out to our third thought. And what I'll be doing on Wednesday night until I get done, I actually, on my third thought, there's about five messages. You'll see that in just a minute. I'm not going to rush this. How many of you agree with me that we're in a conflict? Can I ask the church this? Can I ask you Christians here tonight? Do you feel yourself in a conflict? A battle? I mean it. If you're trying to live for God, you listen to me, I guarantee you, you're in a conflict. Now, if you're out here living like a devil, no, the devil got you, ain't no conflict. But if you're trying, you even trying to do right, you're in a conflict. I want to be, how many of you want to be on the winning side of the conflict? So, look with me to Ephesians 6. I'll do my best to expedite this introduction and review and get into the meat of what I want to say tonight. This book, Ephesians, starts out in the heavenlies before the foundation of the world. And now it ends up on the battlefield. Family. He's concluding the book. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For you that have been taking notes over the last few weeks, that is the exhortation to the Christian. Be strong in the Lord. How many of you agree with me if you have failed in your Christian life, it is because you tried to do it in your strength? I would say there's people in this room that when you get crises and problems, you're what I call a fixer. You try to fix it. You try to fix your kids. You try to fix everything about your life. And you don't succeed because you're doing it. But the Bible said to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And as I told you in the past, if you're going to do that, there's two things you've got to employ. A self-distrust. You can't trust yourself. You know what Paul said in Romans 7? I know that that dwells in the flesh is no good thing. Somebody, here's a statement a lot of people say. And I might as well just nail it right off. Well, I'm just following my heart. Well, hold a minute. Do you know what the Bible says about that? The heart is deceitfully wicked. And who can know it? Preacher, I'm just following my conscience. Well, the Bible talks about folks having their conscience seared. You can't follow your heart. You can't follow your conscience. The only thing you can do is not trust it at all. But secondly, I see something else in there. I see not only a self-distrust, I see a sincere dependence. You're going to be strong in the Lord. You're going to depend on Him for everything. You remember, I can't stand this guy, but I'm going to go ahead and mention his name. He wrote an article to go against Christianity, and he calls us weak people. Jesse the Body Ventura, one of them wrestlers. He wrote an article about us being weak and that we use God as a crutch. And I shot him an email. I said, Jesse, I did. I said, you're right about one thing. God is my crutch. He's in my wheelchair. He's my hospital bed. He's my strength in my bones. He's the only reason I'm making it. And Jesse, if you don't get saved, you ain't going to heaven. Told him. Said, you need word back? Well, absolutely not. I see a sovereign purpose here. And the power of His might. How many believe He's an all-powerful God? Just answer me if you believe it. How many of you know that He's done at least one miracle for you in your lifetime? Well, I know one. If you're saved, that's the miracle of miracles. But I want to tell you, my God has done more than just saved me. My God's protected me and watched over me and loved me and got me through some battles that I never made of myself. Boy, I'm having a time tonight. Secondly, let's keep reading. Stay with me. How many still with me? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now hear this. First point was the exhortation to the Christian. Second point is the enemies of the conflict. We have a well-oiled machine that's trying to destroy us. Let me explain. Let's look at it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I give this, and for you that hadn't heard this point of the message, let me at least go through it again. Principalities are the crown dignitaries. They are the leaders in the Satan's army. You said, preacher, I didn't know he had an army. I didn't know he was organized. Ladies and gentlemen, he can't take your soul, but he sure wants to destroy your life once you get saved. And then there's the powers. That's the conquering deputies. They carry out the orders from the principalities. And then we got the rulers of darkness. That's the capable deceivers. That's religion. You all know the devil's religious. You say, Preacher Smith, how does he work in the area of religion? He's trying to get people to believe the wrong thing. Believe the wrong thing about salvation. By the way, I want you to know something. If there's anything you ever need to get right, you need to get right about salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercies hath God saved us. But see, these rulers of darkness, they're in the religious field. Don't you tell me that God of this world hadn't planted preachers behind pulpits. Now, I want you to know that. Now, y'all ease up. Look at me. Ease up on me now, because I'm really feel a real strong thing at you. Anybody that does not preach the gospel right is a ruler of darkness and a distributor of darkness, and they're leading people to hell. I want you to hear me. There's only one way to heaven. Any other way preached is darkness. Am I preaching? See, a lot of folks don't deal with this, okay? And a lot of folks will come at a person like me, because I am kind of a straight preacher, and they'll say, you're too narrow about this thing, about salvation. You're too narrow. You need to be more inclusive. Hold a minute. Let me ask you if this is narrow or not. If it's narrow, I want you to raise your hand and tell me if this is narrow. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How many of y'all agree that's narrow? How many agree? Listen to this scripture. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And few go in thereat. Now, how many of y'all agree with me? That's narrow. Well, you see, preacher, not everybody with religion over their name is doing it right. It's important tonight that we get it right. Because there's rulers of darkness. You know what? Hold a minute. Can I slow down a little bit? I still got a little while. I'm going to go to my next point. I promise you. You know what the devil would like to do? Is get you confused about your salvation. Get you doubting it. Come on now. Get you doubting it. Who in the world tries to get you to doubt your salvation? Well, sure, in the Bible. These things are written that you might know.
Amen.
It's the devil. The devil works overtime to get you to doubt it. But let me tell you this. If you've been saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no need to doubt. Praise God. You said that's narrow. That's good stuff. Let me give you the fourth thing, then I'll get to our last point and we'll start there tonight. Spiritual wickedness. I call that countless demons. By the way, can I ask you something? How many of you, and be honest, raise your hand if this ever happened to you. How many of you been, you're Christian, but you've been oppressed in your mind by some force working on your brain, working on your mind? Anybody? Well, I wonder who that is. See, I want y'all to know something. You hear me out. The devil cannot possess you after you've been saved. He will not possess a Christian. He cannot get in there. But I will tell you what he will do. He will oppress you. I think the reason for a lot of depression, not all depression, some of it is because of the hormones and some of that stuff. I won't get into all that. But some of the depression is due to Satan oppression. Just working on your mind. Beating you down. Come on, help me. Who is that that does that? That's demons. And by the way, I want you all to know, so I can make this, a demon is a fallen angel. Okay? Now, I if you're a big gap theory person, I don't, you know, you go ahead and believe gap theory if you want to. I'm not going to fuss with you, but do not come to me and tell me that demons were the pre-Adamic race, because they are not. They're fallen angels. You know, I don't believe in the gap theory, but if I did believe it, I sure wouldn't believe that part of it. Quiet in here now. I'm preaching the truth. And the more I study and the more I read the scripture and study it, I cannot believe in the gap theory. You said, what in the world is that? That's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. They believe that the creation was made and then the devil, the fall happened between 1:1 and 1:2. And that's so ridiculous. Because I can prove that he didn't fall between 1:1 and 1:2. Because the Bible says that over in Ezekiel 28, in Ezekiel 28, it said that that anointed cherubim. And by the way, I'm glad we got good music because the devil was the first choir director. Anointed cherubim was in the garden of God in perfection. So how can you be in the garden of God in perfection and the fall happened between 1:1 and 1:2? And the whole premise of the gap theory is God created, the fall came, and then God recreated in 7 days. Now that's not Bible. That's not even logical. And it's not a gap fact. It's a gap theory. And it was propagated by Larkin and C.I. Scovia, and they're great men. But here's what happened. They were in the time of Darwin and they were trying to find an answer for all them millions of years. And I want y'all to know something. Look at me. I don't even know. I am bogged down Jeff. Can I ask you something? Will you all read Genesis 1 when you get home tonight? And I want you to answer this question. Was that grass that was made in Genesis 1 mature grass? Were those animals mature animals? Was man a mature man? Makes a lot of sense that God had a mature earth for a mature man. And God didn't have eons of times and wasn't no big bomb, big blow up. And if you believe in evolution, you ought not be left by yourself. Hey, a watch, the man's a watchmaker. A design. There's a design behind it. And by the way, God just didn't blow it up and set it all into existence. God spoke it into existence. See what y'all get me off on. Now, let's go to number 3. We having fun yet? I'm just teaching the Bible. I'm just having a good time tonight. Now look at verse 11 and verse 13. And tonight we start the third point. And this is fresh new stuff. Look at it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what is God saying to all of us? The only way to stand against the devil is to what? Put on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, stand. Now here it is. Let's start. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let's start there. Let's start there tonight. I don't think I'll get beyond there. Number four, the third point of the lesson is the equipment for the conflict. See, it's a serious dress. It's an armor. And by the way, it's a personal act. Put on. You're not going to win this battle unless you personally put it on. How many Christians have lost their testimony, got out of the church and away from God? And I'm going to tell you why they got away from God. They didn't put on the whole armor. Am I right? You will not win against the devil without putting the armor on. Am I preaching? Not only a serious stress, I see a specific description. See, God saved us, God sustains us, God sanctifies us, and God's got a secret to victory. Now notice where he starts at. This is awesome. Look what you and I probably wouldn't have started here, but God did, and there's a reason. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now let me try to explain where that's the lower extremities. Now look at me. That's here. That's from your knees up to here. Waistline, that's loins. Now here's what, let me teach it to you. The garment of the soldier was a big flowing robe. Big robe. And that soldier could not maneuver with a sword and a robe without a girdle. The girdle went around the robe. The sword fit through it so he could run. I'll never forget. I want all y'all to know this. I'm not a robe kind of guy. Do I look like a robe kind of guy? I'm built like two ice cream cones. I don't look good in anything. And to be a robe, I'm not a robe kind of guy. But my wife, because they run out years ago, Julie, I don't know if you remember, that big red burgundy or whatever called robe. You remember it? And she got it, and she got me some house shoes, and I'm not a house shoe type of guy. So she has me a robe and house shoes. And I got up to, real quick to do something, and I fell flat on my face. I didn't cuss, but I did fall flat on my face. And I said, how am I supposed to operate in this thing? She gently came over. How many of y'all got a wife that can do that to you? And she said, see this belt or girdle? To walk, you got to tie it. Oh. You want God's, listen to this first instrument, the girdle of truth. Two facts here. There's two applications to this. Truth. Chad, we cannot maneuver in the Christian life without truth. Come on. We're just walking around with a big girdle or a big robe on, and we're going to fall if it's not girt about with truth. Now, what do you mean by truth? And I'm glad you asked. Now, remember the loins. It's girt about with truth. Now, let me illustrate before we go just any deeper with that. How many agree with me? Anybody play golf here? If you're a golfer, play golf anytime, raise your hand. All right, let me ask you golfers something. Am I telling it right that the lower extremities where the base of your golf swing is? Baseball, whatever. It's that lower foundation. Hello? And also, can I say one more thing about it? The loins is where your reproductive organs are. See, you're not going to have a firm foundation unless your loins are girded about with truth. And you're not going to be a reproductive Christian unless you're doing it in truth. Now, those two things I want you to notice here. Living by truth. I'm talking about living by honesty. You know, a lot of people have loose lips and a loose life. Come on now. Can I ask you this question? How much of your life is covered with truth? You know what I believe God wants you to be if you're a Christian? He wants you to be the most honest person in the world. Just don't tell lies. And don't say you never told one because you're lying right there. See, to operate in God's realm against the devil, you've got to be real honest about yourself and about your surroundings. You just can't lie. You can't do this thing. Well, I'm doing great. And you know in your heart you're wicked. You know in your heart you're not doing good. It's just a total lie. On the outside, man, I want everybody to think, man, I got it under control. When you're a mess. You're just not being honest. Am I preaching? See, you'll not bear fruit unless you're honest. Unless you're trustworthy. Unless you're truthful. And by the way, one lie, we do another lie. And how many of y'all know where lies come from? Raise your hand if you know where lies come from. The Bible said you are of your father, the devil, who was a liar from the beginning. And the Bible said all liars will be cast into hell. The Bible said put away lying. You know what? Tonight, it would be real great for you to be honest about your life. Be transparent about it. You say, well, I like to act like I've arrived. You haven't. I like people to think I got it together. You don't. Unless you're honest. Am I preaching? You gotta be honest. A lot of folks just not honest about things. They live a lie. You can't live behind closed doors a lie. You gotta be honest if you're gonna win against the devil. Whew. Now, hold on, I'm not done yet. See, you need to tighten it up, that girdle. You need to tighten your lips up. Don't gossip, don't lie. Amen. But hold on, there's another aspect of truth. Sanctify them through thy word, for thy word is truth. Now look at me. I'm trying to see what time it is. I'm doing good. Can I walk down here and teach a little lesson to you? Can I say something to you tonight? Unless you know this Bible truth, you can't win over the devil. You say, what Bible truth? I'm talking about the doctrines of the Bible. You say, what doctrines? I go to church, they don't believe in doctrines. Oh, yes, they do. They might believe in many, but they believe in doctrines. Doctrine is teaching. Well, let's go over some. First of all, might as well start out at the beginning. Bibliology. This Bible just don't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's inspired, it's inerrant. And if you don't believe tonight the Bible is inspired and inerrant, and you believe it's just another book, there ain't no way you can win over the devil. And you know, I got some, my brethren have got away from the Bible and Here's what they say. The Bible's true in the original. Hold on, that sounds real fluffy. But hold on, my God said He preserved His Word. It's preserved in heaven. If we don't have a Bible to English speaking people, then let's just close the doors. Let me get in my truck. I'll see you Sunday morning. We won't have church on Sunday nights, Wednesday morning. What's the use? But if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you want to be here Sunday morning for preaching, Sunday night for preaching, Wednesday night for teaching. But see, it starts here. If I can get you thrown off, if a devil can get you thrown off on what you believe about this book, He's got you. It starts here, Job. If He can, forever settled, it is in heaven. Listen to me. If I can throw you off, Seth was real bold tonight. Hold a minute. There's Bibles out there. Let me quote a verse to you. 1 John 5:7. There's three that beareth witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. That is not in the NIV. ASV. It's not in there. You said, ain't in there? Go check it. Not in there. And that's not the only. There are actually in the NIV 66,000 words missing. A lot of them's about the blood and redemption. And I'll tell you what else they are about the deity of Christ. That's right. Oh, hey, Denny, you cannot win over the devil without a true version of the Bible. And you live that Bible. Amen. How many of y'all with me still yet? Amen. Well, let's keep going. Can I keep going? I've got probably 10 minutes. Let's keep going. Hold on, I'm not done. Then we got to not only talk about bibliologists, let's talk about creation. Theology. We got a God who is a triune being. But now, hold on a minute. There's some faiths don't believe that. The Jesus-only faith doesn't believe that. They believe in you do everything in the name of Jesus. I don't know what they do with Matthew 28 where it said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hold on a minute. He said, Preacher Smith, are you telling me I got to believe in the deity of Christ to believe that God, Jesus was God to be able to overcome the devil? You got to, because that's truth. Are y'all with me? Does any of this make sense? Does it make sense that you can't win over the devil if you don't believe right about God? No, man. I'm not done yet. What about Christology? What is Christology? It's a teaching about Christ. I want y'all to know this. Christ was God. You say, I don't believe that. Oh, yes. Did y'all read over in Genesis? Let us make man in our own image. How many of y'all know who us is? Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Amen. And the same was in the beginning with God. See, if you don't believe in the deity of Christ, you can't be saved because the blood that He shed on Calvary wasn't real blood. It wasn't precious blood. It wasn't redeeming blood. And you got to believe this. You got to believe in the virgin birth. Amen. See, the body that He lived on earth on was not, it didn't have man's blood in it. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. It had God's blood in it. And we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hold a minute. How can you win over the devil if you believe redemption comes through man's blood? The blood that washed my sins away was the blood of God. How many of y'all enjoying this? It's the truth. How can you win over the devil if you don't even believe the virgin birth? Years ago, I had a fellow come to church, and I love the guy. He's having a rough time in his life, and I prayed for him this morning. And he was kind of cantankerous. He started fighting the King James. How many knows Isaiah where it says, a virgin shall conceive? Is that in your, how many Bibles y'all got there? And what he told me that was a good woman. I didn't know. So, well, what kind of sign was that? You're a good woman. All kinds of good women here. No, the sign wasn't a good woman. The sign was she was a virgin and never had a man relationship. And she birthed Jesus. Jesus was born like you're born, but he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And the blood that runs through his veins is the blood of God. And the blood that washes you from your sin is God's blood. You said, preacher, I want to win over that. You don't even believe in the virgin birth. The vicarious death, he took your place. That's truth. Oh, boy. We ain't done yet. How can you win over the devil if you don't believe in salvation right? That's soteriology. Hermitology, maybe. I've got one of them ontologies wrong. The doctrine of salvation. Listen to me, folks. You can't win over the devil if you're not saved. And you're not saved if you haven't come through Christ. You say, well, I was baptized to be saved. You're not saved. I'm not mad at you. It's just the truth. Right, Brother Neil? You can't be saved by water baptism. Living a good life. I don't live a good life to be saved. I live a good life because I am saved. How many of y'all still with me? See, you can't win unless you have the truth. The truth. Truth about salvation. Truth about justification. We're justified by faith. Declared righteous. Judicially, God says you're righteous. When he looks at you, he don't see his head. He sees his son's righteousness. How about sanctification? We don't believe it's a one-time thing. We believe sanctification is on the inside once and for all. We are being sanctified on the outside progressively. And one day we will be sanctified completely when we get a new body. Amen. Now you say, why is that so important? Well, if a devil comes up and sees you, well, you know, you believe in total sanctification. You know. You ain't sanctified. You're going to hell. Because you got sin in your life. We all got it. And if you ain't got it right about sanctification, that you're becoming more like Christ. But you're not yet there yet. Because see, the end is glorification. See, it's not taught very many churches. But I ain't done yet. Let's just even talk about eschatology. How many of y'all know what eschatology is? It's the study of last things. Oh boy. Those people don't even believe in the rapture. You say, really? What do you mean rapture? I ain't never heard of that. Well, the Bible said the Lord is going to descend from heaven and we're going to meet him in the air. You said, that's not the rapture. That's the second coming. No, that's not the second coming. That's the rapture. Second coming is when he comes back after the tribulation period and his feet will land on the earth. Now you said, why is that important? Because I want you to know something. You better know you ain't going through the tribulation period. You better know that the devil's going to, hey, you better know that. Yes, amen. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm a premillennialist. You said, what's a premillennialist? Jesus Christ is going to come at the coming of Christ and he's going to establish a 1,000-year reign. You said, what do you mean 1,000 years? You mean he's going to rule and reign 1,000 years? Yes, he is. Literal 1,000 years? Yes, he is. Go read Ezekiel. It talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. It talks about a baby dying at 100 years old. People are going to go back to the same age they were with Adam and Eve, up to 900 and some years old. Am I helping you? But some people believe in replacement theology. That here's what they believe, that the church replaces Israel. God is going to redeem his church and take us up, but he also is going to redeem Israel. The church is not Israel. The church that, no, man, I'm not, I got, I start teenager, dear Lord. I'm just teaching. Hold a minute. You ain't got that stuff right? The devil get on you real quick. If you ain't girded with truth, we're going to get voted. Everything voted us. Come on now. But hold a minute. Are you girded with truth? Are you honest? And are you grounded in the Bible? You cannot win, Dustin, if you're not grounded in the Bible. Because you'll get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You want to know why? I'm 45 years in the Lord. I haven't left it, Joe. You know why? I'm grounded in it. Only way I'll ever get away from it is if I go crazy. Or maybe, you know, lose my timmies. That's what my mom called them. My mom said, you lost your timmies. That means you lost your mind. And hold a minute. Let's go back to that. I'm done. Let's start at the foundation. Have you been saved? Look at me. Have you been saved by the blood of Christ? Hey, do you know you? If you die today, you'd go to heaven? Because that's where truth starts. Bow your head with me. Two things. How many right now know if you die today, you'd go to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold them up. Thank you. How many of you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, but you don't want to die and go to hell? And you'd like for me to pray for you. Raise your hand. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, preacher, but I want to be saved before I die. Before the Lord comes. Slip it up. How many of you right now say, Preacher Smith, I want to live a Christian life. I want to be victorious. But I'm not very grounded in Scripture. And I want you to pray that I'll get so grounded in the Bible that I'll be able to overcome the devil. And I want to know more about the Bible every week. And I thank you, preacher, for teaching us. I wonder how many right now raise your hand and say, I want to be big. I see it. Yeah, I see him. I wonder how many people, and I'm done, would say tonight that you're struggling. You're really battling with the devil. And he's winning sometimes. And you say, preacher, I need prayer bad. Bad. I see those hands. I see them. I need it bad, preach. Would you stand with me? Would you come forward? Get close to God tonight. Father, those that need prayer bad. Those that need truth bad. Those that need to walk in truth bad. Help them come forward tonight. Find an altar of prayer. Get things right. Get close. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. All you got to do is come and surrender. And if you're not sure you're saved, you ought to come on. Just come on if you're not saved. You didn't raise your hand, you ought to come on. Ezekiel Smith. God bless. Hasn't it been good to be in God's house? I want you to come to church, be a part of it. I guarantee you I'm going to do everything I can to feed you, help you be a strong Christian. Love you. I'm not going to beat you up. I don't believe in all that. I'll preach against sin, but I ain't beating you up. I love you. Brother David O'Neill, will you dismiss us in prayer?